Hi everybody, welcome to the Glasgow Clan Q&A. Delighted to have you on board for this. Thank you first of all for all the questions you've sent. I've got my panellists sitting waiting to chat to us now, and let me just press this button. Here they all are: Gareth Chalmers, the Clan Managing Director on the top right of your screen, Clan Head Coach and Director of Hockey, Malcolm Cameron, on the bottom left, and Commercial Director, Jerry McLaughlin, at the bottom. Chaps, good to have you on board. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
A serious interview, Craig. You've put your serious glasses on. I didn't know.
I put my serious glasses on. I know. I thought I'd better dig them out. Well, this is serious stuff.
No, I'm worried.
As I say, we've got plenty of questions that you've been kind enough to send in to us, which I'm going to put to the guys here just now, and we'll get some answers, and hopefully that'll answer what you've been wanting to know. We're going to start with pre-season, of course. We're just a few weeks away from the pre-season game coming up with the Dundee Stars. One thing that came up quite a lot, Gareth, we'll go to you on this one, the club opting to play an Elite League rival instead of having a European team over like we've seen in the past. We've seen Asiago come over here, over in Frankfurt, teams like that. So how come it's different this year?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a switch in the league this year, hasn't it? I think obviously in seasons past we've opted to bring a German team in or an Italian team, and it's worked really well for us. It's been something different for the fan base to get, you know, to get bought into. It's a different team for everybody to see, and I think just post pandemic and obviously the way the world is at the moment with costs. I think, you know, if you look at the league as a whole, everybody's just decided to play teams from within the league. You know, it's all down to cost of flights, cost of hotels. Also, you know, from a ticketing standpoint, the games against Elite League teams always, you know, historically sell better than having a German or an Italian or a European team in. You know, we've just opted to play Dundee. Rest of the league, I don't know anybody else in the rest of the league that's playing a foreign team. It's just the way things are going. Just for the future, though, I think, you know, we want to play new teams. We want European teams in the building. So it's, you know, hopefully it's just a short-term situation, and over the coming years we'll start to see some returning or new teams from Europe coming back into the building for pre-season.
Of course, you talked about ticketing, and obviously Brexit plays a part now in travel as well. We've seen that in the news in the recent weeks. So is there a chance for the club to maybe go play pre-season or even a tournament in Europe at some point in the future? Is that something that's maybe been considered at least?
Yeah, it's obviously, I think I speak for everybody. I think it's something we'd all love to do again. We experienced it in the Champions League when we went to Ingolstadt and Vekwa, and we have had discussions a couple of times with a couple of teams in Germany and about going across there and playing pre-season. It just it's slightly different because obviously training camp is a little bit shorter here than it is in Europe. So we generally have training camps about 2 weeks here, where in Europe the teams tend to start a lot early with training camp. So it's got to fit around that. And then also from a financial perspective, the pre-season games always sell very well here compared to Europe. So if you go to a pre-season game in Europe, especially in the countries that we tend to play, their pre-season games don't sell that well. So it's much more beneficial for them to come in the UK, where, you know, everything gets covered from hotels to flights. Where if we're going in Europe, it's a little bit more, you know, not as cost effective for those teams. So that's why you see a lot of these teams coming into the UK, because financially it stacks up a lot better. But just going back to the original question, yeah, we'd love to do it. You know, not ruling that out at all. It's obviously something we'll keep assessing year to year, and if the right opportunity comes up, we'll definitely do it. And obviously, you know, the bigger aim is if we can get back into the Champions League or if we can get into the Continental Cup in the future. That'll give us the away trips that we'll like to do.
And as we speak just now, the tickets aren't on sale yet for the Dundee game. We hope to have those out in due course as well, those along with the Challenge Cup games. A lot of people asking, are those games going to be included with the season ticket? What can you tell us about that, Gareth?
No, so the pre-season game against Dundee and the Challenge Cup group games aren't on the season ticket, so they're not included in the 2022-23 season ticket. So we've, as you said, Craig, the tickets will be on sale relatively soon, hopefully over the next couple of days. We have put together a bundle, which, Jerry, what we're calling it again?
Four-pack of clans.
Yeah.
Well, we're expecting to take some stick for that pretty quickly. But yeah, so we've bundled this season some of the tickets into a deal called a four-pack of clans. So it's four games in one bundle that people can add on to their season ticket. It's something that people have been asking for ages. And we're just finally able to do it now with the new ticketing system. So it's the cup games, it's the first bundle, isn't it? The first pack, Gareth, the cup games and the friendly game will be included on that. And there'll be other such ticketing schemes coming later in the season, which I know people have been asking for ages around Christmas. And they'll make good gifts for people. And when you're bringing a friend who's got into it, rather than, you know, having to buy a season ticket midway through a season, now they can maybe buy these a pack of four games and get them into it. So there'll be more information about that coming. But that first pack of four clans will be available very soon.
Yeah. So just while we're on ticketing, actually, I've got a ticketing question, as it happens. So we'll cover that just now then while we're all here. Maureen Murray on Twitter asked the question, why are tickets for games only released to buy 2 to 3 weeks before the game and why not earlier? Is that something you can shed any light on?
Yeah, I can answer that one. It's just been a historical situation where we've, because obviously we've been a tenant in the building, in the arena here, we always release tickets just a month in advance. And that was just in case we ever had to move any fixtures for an event coming in, or, you know, if there was a change to the schedule. Also, I think from the club perspective, is we'd like to try and get as many people to focus on buying tickets for the upcoming games rather than spending their hard-earned money on a game that's in, say, March. So the focus has always been just been releasing them month to month. Obviously, the situation's a little bit different now with us running the venue. So we, you know, we'll be looking to try and get them released a lot quicker, you know, now. But it's been a historical situation where we've just released them on a month by month basis.
Let's bring in the coach, Malcolm. Malcolm sitting there patiently waiting for his turn. Of course, at the team point of view, the guys are all signed. They're all ready to go. It's just a case of getting them ready for the camp now. The guys will be arriving pretty soon as well. How things been going from your point of view?
You know, just you make plans for, you know, your camp and what you're doing each and every day on the ice and the gym and all of that kind of stuff too. So, you know, you tinker with it a little bit here and there, and then planning the season schedule and workouts and rest and all of those things. So just, you know, keeping busy on the hockey side. Plus, I try and touch base with everybody, you know, every couple of weeks just to see how the training's going, making sure they're getting on the ice, all of those things. That was a real challenge last year with us starting in October. Guys just kind of ran out of ice. We don't have that situation now because, you know, the NHL guys, the AHL guys, the ECHL guys are all still skating. They haven't gone off the camp yet. So that'll kind of coincide with our guys leaving.
And I think it's a good opportunity to show off your T-shirt, Malcolm. You were showing us there before we started recording. There we go.
little merchandise push.
Are you walking around Florida wearing that jersey?
I just put it on the first time for this interview today.
Walking to the store, the local supermarket, wearing that jersey. There's that guy himself.
Yeah, I'll go over to the grocery store this afternoon. My son's working there. I'll embarrass the hell out of him.
a good opportunity to mention that your Milky Puck t-shirts are available now on the Clan online store. We'll stay with you, Malcolm.
Yes,
Voogie's Aces on Twitter is asking, last season you would have had an expectation of what the league was going to be like. Now with one season in the bag, was it different than you expected? If so, what did the experience teach you that the roster needed more of this season to be more competitive?
Well, to be honest with you, I've known so many guys that have come over and played in this league and know a lot of guys that played in the league last year. So I had a pretty realistic expectation of the talent level of the teams, for sure. And since I'd coached in Europe previous, obviously the impact of, you know, skilled players on big ice. So it wasn't really shocking in any way, shape, or form. The things that really surprised me were just the venues, a couple of them, and you know, going into Fife, pretty loud and crazy atmosphere, a little bit unexpected. How small the ice was in Manchester in comparison to everybody else's sheet. That was a little different. You know, in terms of our roster, we, you know, as everybody knows, we got off to a late start last year. So that, you know, the pool of players available wasn't, you know, 100% of what was available. We might have had 25% of the world's, you know, the world's players to pick from. So we were going to have some deficiencies in our game and with our roster. I think we've addressed that this year. Secondary scoring beyond our top line and power play unit, first unit last year, really did the bulk of our scoring. I feel now we're going to have three lines that'll be really solid offensively. I think we're a little bit more mobile in the back end with our defensemen. You know, without losing some of the size that we had, I think we've got guys that are a little bit better skaters that can get up and down the ice a little bit better and jump into the play. So I'm pleased overall. I think, you know, the word we would say is depth. We have a lot more depth in our lineup from 1 to 12 up front and from 1 to 6 in the back and obviously three goaltenders. So I like the position we're in.
I'm going to throw this one at you, Gareth. Obviously, you've been here since 2013. You've had a few summers where you've ended up having to recruit a coach as well as a team on top of that. How much easier has it been for you this year for a change?
That's a good question. I think, obviously, the, like, you know, we made it quite apparent that the dynamic of the club's changed since 2 years ago. Obviously, we're now running the hockey club, but also we're running the venue as well. So the overall business has, you know, totally changed. When we went looking for a new head coach, we made it very apparent that we needed somebody who could recruit. Recruitment's half the job. I'm sure Malcolm will agree with that. If you can get your recruitment right, it just makes life so much easier. So we wanted somebody with a bit of experience and somebody who could recruit. And obviously that's what Malton's has done. And that's made life a lot easier for me. Malton's kind of, you know, just dealt with all the players. I've had very little to do with them other than visas. So yeah, it's exactly what we wanted. It's as I touched on before, the dynamics changed and we've got, Jerry and I have got a lot more to deal with now with outside of the hockey club. So it's worked really well.
Well, come on to you, Jerry. We've talked about the summer and preparation and things like that. From your point of view, a commercial side, you know, we see a lot of presence from Asprey. They're very much a lot of great people at Asprey involved with the club. What's it been like from your point of view over the summer and from a commercial side?
Joe, it's really good. I think one of the hardest things about, I mean, I'm not, lockdown was hard for everyone for so many different reasons, but particularly from a club perspective, we had a strategy in place and we were really looking forward to the next season for the club and a lot of things that we were hoping to do, hoping to really kind of kick in there. This year coming up now feels like what we were hoping to get that year. So sponsorship retention's been fantastic this year. I think there's only two sponsors not back this year and it's both companies that are just not making that product anymore, Built by Nutrition. And Creation IP, Bryn's been a long-standing sponsor and has sold up his company, but he'll be coming still as a fan. So really it feels like full retention and then the opportunity to kind of get through and get those new sponsors. People will see a lot of new sponsorship coming in. A lot of that's come from our current sponsorship base. You're right, guys, that Asprey have really supported our club, you know, financially, but they're big fans of the team. So they spread out, they tell people, you should come and check this out. You know, it's not just the ice hockey scene's great. We all love hockey. But it's our club. They're happy to promote and be ambassadors for our club. So again, yeah, no, it's been really, really good. I think people are going to see a massive kind of jump up in the amount of sponsorship we've got. But it's also the extra business that we've taken on, the extra responsibility has allowed us to do different deals. You know, a lot of this is connected to the fact that we can now sell product. We can monetize parts of the building and that there's an exciting story here. Now, that's really attractive to sponsors. And look, we'll be looking at a lot of investment over the next few years. It's, I mean, I'm sure you've got a few questions, Craig, about, you know, what improvements are we making in the building? And, you know, I think we have, shall I leave that till later then?
Yeah, we'll leave that there just now. But yeah. You've kind of touched on, you've kind of slightly answered one of the questions I was sent. Cali Orco on Twitter, with Clan now leasing the arena, what new sponsorship opportunities can you see bringing that weren't there before? And you've touched upon that already, the fact that you can monetize certain areas of the building. Is there any other avenues that you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing is as well, we get to cross over with hockey. You know, this is the first time this building and this club has been put together. So there's loads of great opportunities in between that. For example, I think the theme nights, I don't want to spoil things for people, any of the nice surprises, but some of the theme nights, which have been so popular in the past, we've got some really interesting sponsors for those nights. There's opportunities in the building as we change things. Little spaces come up or made more available. We're going to, Molson Coors have been fantastic in investing some money for us so we can improve the bar area and facilities there. I feel I'm going to answer the question you probably want to ask later, Craig, but in terms of what we were hoping to do and what we're able to do quickly, it's definitely changed because the energy situation, it's taken us a while to get it sorted. Everyone knows that there's an energy crisis in the country as a whole. That's changed the plan. To do immediately, that we know it's just going to have to take a few more years now. It's you can spend £1 million in this building and see no improvement in it, stuff that needs to be done. So we need to mix those things, and we've had to change up that plan. But people will start to see things happening in the foyer, like things that have happened throughout the year already last season. There'll be more of that. Like the foyer area will be changing. We're looking at a second area. We know we need that. There'll be things for sale in the concourses, and we've already done a few of these things, but just more of that. People will start to see it happening. We've just had to spread out our plan a little bit more than we maybe would have hoped, but we're in a much better place than we were last year.
Cool. Right, we'll get to more of the improvements in the arena a little bit later as we go. Let's go to you, Gareth. A question about merchandise. Ian Dewar on Twitter asked the question, with us now into the sixth year with Warrior and NB, will there be more Warrior NB merchandise? We've seen the players in nice training tops and jackets, but not able to purchase them. I seem to remember I wanted to know where I could get a hat like the one Malcolm's got right now. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, to answer the question, yes. I've actually just been dealing with an email about half an hour ago from Warrior about merchandise. I think obviously we're delighted to be back with Warrior, long-term partner of ours, fantastic, the whole arrangement's really good for the club. I believe Belfast have got a very good deal, but our deal is probably one of the best in the league for, you know, jerseys and equipment and clothing for the guys. We've always wanted to get merchandising from Warrior. It's quite a complex situation in terms of I think they've been, you know, Warrior are quite new to the jersey and sort of merchandising market, and they've been trying to find their feet. We have tried numerous times to get merchandise off them, and they've had supply issues and haven't been able to get the items that we wanted in the time frames. But I was across in the Czech Republic back in June, had a good sit down with Warrior, discussed everything with them, and I think we'll start to see some exciting items and ranges through very soon to complement what we've already got from the likes of Cross Check Clothing and all of the supplies that we use. We see the merchandise side of the business has been is a real growth area. The fans are fantastic in supporting the merchandise that we'll come up with, and it's grown year on year, and you know, we do see that growing even further in the future. We're trying to focus on North America and Europe now to try and get more merchandise out. Obviously, we've launched a new online shop, which will hopefully make life easier for people getting around and obviously help to increase those sales.
And just on merch and maybe jerseys, I suppose, that kind of theme. Eddie Squire's asking, is there any chance of doing a special shirt for Remembrance Day and inviting some ex-servicemen that have served as well from the Erskine Hospital? Is that something you've looked at?
Yeah, I suppose to answer the question, not this year. We'll not be doing that this year, but I'm, you know, not ruling that out for the future. We've actually done something with Erskine in the past. So generally what we've done in previous years, we've selected two local charities to support. And I think we supported Erskine back in around about 2015 to to 2017, from what I recall off the top of my head. So we'll try and go around quite a few different local charities, support them with a jersey every year, do a bit of fundraising, a bit of PR with them. You know, in the future, we may get end up going back around and working with Erskine again. They were a great charity to work with. So, yeah, to see what the future brings.
Gareth, I think we'd still be keen as well, obviously, to have the veterans in the building on, you know.
Totally, yeah.
Something we've always become quite a big and an awesome tradition to do. So whether we do the jersey or not, obviously this year probably wouldn't happen, but it's always great to do stuff with the veterans for Remembrance Day. It's certainly become a nice tradition.
Yep.
Definitely. Okay, well, let's go back to the team. Malcolm, Stuart Russell's asking, following a good first season and a particularly strong end to the league campaign, what would be the measure of a successful second season for yourself and the team?
Well, we certainly, for me, you always measure your success by getting into the playoffs, because you can't have a successful finish of the season if you're not in the playoffs. But in saying that, obviously, they have the opportunity to seed higher than what we did last year is certainly the goal. Do we have the talent, the roster to do it? For sure we do. But there's a lot of other variables. I mean, you got injuries, you got illness, you know, the other teams are trying to win too. It's not as easy as anybody thinks it is. But yeah, and for sure, we want to get into the playoffs and we'd like to seed higher. And once you get into those positions, you have an opportunity to win the most meaningful prize, which is the end of the year.
Okay, let's keep let's go on to the issue we've been holding back now, improvements on the arena. That theme came up quite a lot from the questions from fans. Obviously, they know that the Clan are running the place now. They want to see certain additions made to the building, add to the match night experience.
Sky boxes and jumbotrons and clowns and cheerleaders, I'm sure, right?
We'll get to that in a minute, but the first question I'm going to ask is from Tanya Reid, and it's something Gareth and I have been talking about. Any chance we could have match night programmes, please? Over to you, Gareth.
To answer the question, yes. It's something we're currently looking at. We've had programmes in the past, which I'm sure many, many people recall. We had the Clansmen, which used to be a monthly sort of 48-page programme, from what I can remember.
80 pages?
Yeah. Was it 80? Was it?
80? I worked on it. 80 pages.
That's a programme.
Front and back.
Yeah. I used to think it was half of that, but that's, yeah. So we're in the past we had the Clansmen, which was a monthly. It was a nice glossy you know, sort of magazine program, wasn't it? And then we had later on we came up with the mini Clansmen or whatever we called it, which was like a match night program. We are looking at potentially bringing that back. Again, it's like anything else. We used to do it. What we found is that the monthly Clansmen, the club was losing a lot of money on it, so I decided to get rid of it. If it stacks up for a little match night program, we'll definitely do it. It's all just about whether people are buy it or not. So I suppose it's important to get the content right. It's important to get what people want to read. We are going to be looking at it. We are going to try and bring it back. It just needs to stack up and people need to buy it. Also, I'm very conscious these days that everything's online. So, you know, any information that you want generally can be found online. So, you know, we may end up trying a printed version or we may end up going down, you know, an online digital version. But I am aware that people do like the programme. They do like to buy one on a game night, and it's obviously something we'll be having another look at.
There we go. And we are, as Gareth says, we are looking into it. And if we can do it, then I dare say we will. Right, jumbotrons. Who wants that one?
Go on, then.
I think that's Jerry's favourite subject right now.
Well, I mean, as I touched on before, like, there's plans in place for all these things. Hospitality needs massive upgrade improvements. The big screen is just a huge thing for the club. We know that's something that people would want, would improve game night, but also improves public skating and all these kind of things. The lighting is something that we're looking at, and all these things are in an order. We were hoping to kind of launch these things much sooner, and just the truth being that the energy situation has been a real kick for all sorts of businesses. For us, it's been a bit more harder felt and earlier because we're a new business taking over a building probably at the worst possible time, post-Brexit, post-lockdown, and then obviously this energy crisis hitting. So the good news is it's not something that's, you know, going to kill us off or anything like that. It just means we've had to stretch out that plan. One of the most important things we took the decision is to ring fence spending on the team. We needed to invest more in the team. So we've spent more than we ever have on the team this year. Still doesn't mean that we're the biggest spending team in the league by any means, but that's the progress that we're looking to do. So at least that was ring fence. In terms of a timescale, it won't be this year that we do anything with the big screen. As I mentioned before, there's a lot of things that need to go into this building to keep it ticking over. And we'll need to look at that in terms of safety and things like that first. Probably it'll be the lighting will be the first thing that people see different. And we'll hopefully be able to announce like a timescale for these things. But lighting and hospitality will probably be coming first before a big screen, I'm afraid. Although you never know, Gareth and I, we were talking before, maybe we could do a bit of partial crowdfunding and maybe link it up with some sponsorship and stuff like that. So there might be a way of jumping it forward, but unfortunately not this season for a big screen. I know people will be disappointed, but very, very soon we'll just get a timescale for these kind of improvements. But it's very much on the list of things to do.
Yeah. Rest assured, we've got a wish list. There's always
I can say from experience, I've gone into buildings before that have not had a Jumbotron and have had to add them. It's a lot more of a difficult process than people imagine. I mean, there's all the wiring. First of all, you have to have a control room to run it and somebody to run it. You know, you've got to get the feeds from the cameras in to show replays and all of those things. You got to find one that's reasonable and can fit. So there's a lot to it to in order to add that. And that's not something I'm sure that the club wants to do. It wants to rush into and pick the wrong size one or one that just doesn't meet our expectations. So from the hockey standpoint, I'd much rather take an extra year to get the right one and make sure that it's going to be good for longevity's sake.
Yeah. It's so much better now. We've literally had specialists in pricing up different locations and where we could do it. And that technology is getting better and better all the time. And as Malcolm's saying there, it's the infrastructure you need to have around it to make sure that it's going to work right. So we need to make sure, first things first, there's an ice plant to go in and you do these things maybe at the same time. You know, it's like there's going to be a lot of upheaval when the ice plant situation needs to change at some point. So unfortunately, there's just a few things in the way of doing it. It looks like it'd be an easy thing to get a big screen up on the wall. But as Malcolm's saying, to get the infrastructure right behind it, it's just going to take a little bit longer. And especially with the way that we're going to have to do investment in this building over the next few years, it's on the list. It's something that's a high ticket item. It will improve game nights and no end, but we need to get it right.
Yep. And just to give people some perspective, like a decent sized scoreboard's anywhere between 100 to 500,000 pounds. So it's not pocket money we're talking about. It's a lot of money. But as Jerry alluded to before there, we've got various different areas of the business that we need to invest in. First, we'd like GB games in the building, we'd like, junior development. We've talked about it all before. And that needs more investment. We're going to need a better clan dressing room. We're going to need a better away dressing room. We're going to potentially need two additional dressing rooms in the building. So, moving away from the hockey side as well, public skating is absolutely pivotal to the business going forward. We need to invest in, how people are coming into the building for public skating, where they can come into the building, etc. So, there's a long list. So,
I think for people to, I think we sort of have to make it quite clear as well. We've been for like 8 years here and all of a sudden taking over the building. It's only really now, looking back over the last sort of, not even 12 months we've been here, but it's only now that we're able to look at the genuine amount of energy usage, electricity, gas, and actually have a much more tangible business model. It's easy to do it when you come in, but until we've been here a year and you look at it, and the figures are all different. Everything's just a guess to start with, but now this is the time we go like, okay, right, that's what that cost. This is going to change over the next few years. And on the plus side, at least we have dealt with our energy situation, whereas a lot of public buildings, swimming pools, other ice rinks, they're going to have that coming up ahead of them pretty soon. So, look, we've had to take a lot of the rough the smooth must be around the corner at some point. But at least we've dealt with a lot of this thing and still been able to kind of improve the team, retain our head coach, and looking forward to the future. So there's stuff in place now. We've dealt with it, and surely we can get a plan in place now, and you'll start to see improvements happening over the next few years now.
Yeah.
Well, Rod Massey on Twitter covered Centre Ice scoreboard, but he also asked about improving the arena in the future, talking about the entrance from the waterfront, supporters bar calling it the Clansman, unless there isn't one called the Clansman I'm unaware of, better corporate facilities to help in attracting sponsors. And again, I suppose it's like everything else you've said so far, that it is on the list.
Yeah, well it's interesting because even the name the Clansman and an area has been picked out for that and highlighted. I've got a meeting on Wednesday with a company called Creative about looking about installments and lovely Instagrammable moments. You're going to start seeing that kind of stuff. I don't want to kind of spoil some of these things that are going to be coming. You will be seeing changes and things coming like that. Lockley Construction, some of these partners that we're working with are coming in, and architects looking to change the building, the way we use it. We're really tight for space in here. The ice plant's a huge item that's taking up space, but we can be more creative with it. But people will start to see those changes. Interesting that he mentions the Clansman. It's the most obvious name for a supporters pub. There's a space highlighted for that. And you'll start to see other wee bits and bobs of stuff coming. But it is interesting. We've got this very similar ideas. There's things on the way.
Well, yeah. I just like to, Greg, I just wanted to say one thing. Like some of these things that people are talking about and the improvements, we're all for it. But some of these are big ticket items where you actually would have to close down the arena from events. Mm-hmm. And that's hard when your business is just starting to shut down and miss out on events, you know, perhaps in the hockey off season. That's when the concerts and the shows and the trade shows and those things are booming. So you kind of got to pick and choose what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, so that it doesn't affect your overall business.
Yep. Yeah, I think Malcolm's really right there, Craig. It's a really interesting point. We know what we want the hockey season to look like in this building. We know what that's like. We know we want public skating where that's got to be. Supporting the Paisley Pirates, another team in the building, it's important to help them become a really successful team in our building as much as possible. But how do we get our summer right? That is going to be so key to the Clan's future, how we develop the culture around the building in that period, whether it's country music concerts, whether it's Masters football, whether it's Colours Fest, all these things, how do we fit them in? And then when they've done that, how do we take time out to improve the building? So there is a lot going on in the background, but there's quite a few pieces to settle in terms of the culture of the building and when we can physically afford to shut the building down to make the big ticket item improvements.
And in terms of the... I was going to say, just quickly, in terms of the entrance from the boardwalk, from the water side, where the river is, yeah, it is in the cards, because I think we've highlighted is like most ice rinks operate, you know, 21 hours a day. This building's always just operated when the shopping centre's been open. So, you know, if the shopping centre's been closed, the building hasn't been utilised. So going forward, we really need to get an entrance that's accessible for the public from the boardwalk into the building, so we can have, you know, rec teams or figure skaters in at like 1 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's how ice rinks are viable in this country, by utilizing, you know, 21, 22 hours a day. And that's no different for us. We've got to make that investment. So that new entrance is on the cards. It's something we've looked at, and it's on the ever-growing list.
I'm curious about calling something the Clansman, Jerry. You worked on Still Game. You're not going to upset some pals there, are you?
No, maybe we can get them in to help us opening it. I've already spoken. We're dreaming ahead to it. But I think some of the things we've looked at, like with that bar area, is we've all got ideas of how much we'd love to spend, but there's so many things going to change. So what can we do to just get these things up and running in the first place? So there's an area that I'd highlighted for years below Section N, which I think would make a really good Clansman pub people could access from the boardwalk. We're looking about the infrastructure and the licensing that we would need to do that. And it would be great to make it look like the pub in Still Game or something like that. It would be fantastic. But to start with, we could maybe get it up and running with mobile units. We do that for Colours Fest and for other events here. So there's no reason why we can't look at doing that this season and maybe look at that being a space that we can start using and develop it over the next few years. So although we've not... like the big ticket items, we might not be able to drop them right away. but we are looking at new screens for the foyer, things like that, that are like, we'll get it started and improve it so that we're not hanging around too long. We are going to see some, you know, improvements really quickly. That will just be a licensing thing, just to get our license changed. But as Gareth will tell anyone, it took us almost a year to get the license started for this building. Everything just kind of collapsed after the pandemic. The building was shut for 2 years. So nothing's been easy to get up and going again. It's been quite frustrating for us, but we're in a much better place this year than we were last year. And we are looking at things like that.
One other question from a match night point of view. Louise Willis is asking, to me seemed a bit of a strange question because I wasn't aware of any limitation. Maybe you can clear this up for us. Can we bring flags to the games? If not, what items can we bring to wave or make noise? Now, we've seen flags in the arena. I don't know what Louise is maybe alluding to. There is no restriction, is there?
No. No. No restrictions at all. No.
Drums are welcome. Drums are welcome.
100%. I'm aware of restrictions in other buildings, but we welcome flags, welcome drums. You know, it's I've always said, like, our atmosphere is the best in the league. I do believe that strongly. The fans, obviously, are fantastic at the generating that atmosphere. And, you know, we just want to keep that growing. It's not, if people want to bring a drum or if they want to bring a flag, bring it along. It's not an issue.
We had an idea recently, in fact, to get some feedback on this, about running a banner competition. So kids or whoever want to do banners, maybe have them up like you see in the NHL for the players during warm-up, but during the game as well, having these banners and stuff out, and we'll maybe do a prize. I'm looking again at sponsored for the best banner, just to kind of encourage people. It's more than fine to bring banners and plenty of colour and noise in the building. We've never been scared of waking up the neighbours here, so please do bring banners. It'd be good to get some feedback if people thought that's something they'd like to do with their kids beforehand. Maybe go somewhere drawing up banners and stuff like that and then bringing them in. And it could be prizes for stuff like that. I know it used to happen quite a lot before. It'd be good to get back to that.
Me personally, I'd like to see people bring a couple of banjos to the game. It goes good with the drum. I've lived in the southern US for a long time. Banjos and drums go good together.
Banjos, drums, and pipes. We could bring
How about a couple of squeeze boxes too? Do you know? Get that going.
Here we are. This is it. I think cowbell
triangle.
Well, for sure. Honestly, I know that sounds funny, the banjos, but when I was coaching in Texas, we had a section of guys that played the banjo, and it was unbelievable. Guys would actually, before they go into the face-off circle, like look up and listen to them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good as well. When the opposition guy gets sent into the penalty box, then a ding, 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 ding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Any banjo players, get in touch.
Let's do it. I don't know how many banjos there are in Scotland, but hey, it was worth a mention.
The back couple. Okay, let's go to something a bit media-wise. Will the Clan be updating the app on the phone? Gareth, is there anything you can tell us about an update coming soon?
Yes, I've been speaking to Podium Apps, who do our app. Obviously, over the last couple of weeks, we've just launched the new Clan website, which is, I'm sure people agree, it's really a really big step forward, and thanks to everybody at Extensive for that. But yeah, we're talking to Podium Apps at the moment to try and improve the current app that we've got. Just make a couple of changes to that. Get it updated with the new players and new fixtures for the season. We've actually got a few things going on with a couple of other companies with regards to app development at the moment for the building and for the Clan. I don't know if you want to touch on that, Jerry, a little bit.
We're always looking to improve things. Obviously, we brought in the merchant services last year, which really sped things up and was just a kind of something you absolutely have to do anyway, post-COVID society. But there will be a tester app that we're looking to do, so people can order food and drinks from their seats and merchandise. So it'll be just a small group of people to start with, just because we need to work it out. But yeah, I mean, hopefully by the following season, we'll be able to unveil that for the whole fan base and everyone could... There'll be lots of options for ordering food and drinks and merchandise and stuff like that, and try and cut down on queues and just make the whole experience a little bit more fluid and a bit slicker.
That's fine. Thanks to Scott Gilmore for that question. Just a couple to go. Amy, on the email asking that May last year a partnership was forged between the Paisley Pirates and the Glasgow Clan. Is this partnership still afloat? And if so, what benefits have either club seen from it so far?
Yes, it's still afloat. Obviously, because now we're in the venue, I've got a good relationship with Jackie Turley, who runs the Paisley Pirates. Have we seen a great deal of benefit off it so far? We haven't. I'll be honest, we haven't. But we've had so much going on with the building, and obviously with our late start last year, it's not something we really got into. But going forward, I'm sure that'll change. It's in our best interest now for the Paisley Pirates as a venue for the Paisley Pirates to work and to grow as a club. So you know we're trying to support them in any way we can. It's for the venue to work in the longer term. We need a strong second team in the building, not just the clan. So you know we're sitting down and trying to over the coming months and years helping the Paisley Pirates go further from where they are.
That's fine. Thank you for that. And the last question comes from Craig Walsh. Another email question from Craig. Will the Glasgow Clan win the league this season and also the Cups too? I think Craig's imagining himself seeing an open-top bus parade going by him. How do you fancy our chances this year? Coach, you go first.
You know what? Anybody's got a chance to win. I mean, a lot of things got to go right to win. And if you look at it, you know, Belfast last year, you know, had a pretty smooth ride for most of the season. Didn't have a lot of injuries, didn't have a lot of illness. You know, they pretty much had their roster intact just about every single night, but they didn't win the championship at the end of the season in the playoffs. So Cardiff did, and Cardiff's the number three seed. So anybody that gets into the playoffs has a great chance. You know, the regular season is more of a marathon and not a sprint. So a lot of things have to go right. You've probably got to be very, very consistent over the course of 6-7 months in order to win that. Do we have a chance? I would say this year, legitimately, we have a chance to win a lot more important things this year than we did last year. There's no question. We're a deeper roster. We've got guys that are, you know, now been a part of the program for several years. We've got some continuity with players and coach returning. We've got some young firepower. We've got older, experienced players from within the league. I like where we're going in the right direction. I don't think any coach, you know, if you talk to them today, would say that they don't have a chance to win. If they do, then they must have had a terrible summer recruiting. That the right answer is to say, yeah, we have a chance to win. But without knowing what's in front of us over the next 7 months, pretty hard to predict. Because, like I said, those other nine teams are trying to win too.
Jerry, we've seen this so many times with this team. It's our time, surely, isn't it?
Do you know what's really interesting? I think Malcolm's put a brilliant team together this year. I think last year, we talked about the kind of things that we had to overcome as a club and a fan base. We all had so much to overcome. And we asked a lot of our players last year, and we asked a lot of Malcolm coming in late. That's hard to get up and get going with the budget that the team had. You know, you're asking a lot. And really what we were looking for was a team that on its day, you could believe at home, we had a chance against everyone. And we saw that happen last season. The team beat every team, you know, and then this year you're looking for an improvement on that. And I think people can see from this team, you can see how it can be successful. You know, Malcolm's obviously right. You're hoping for chemistry. You're hoping for a bit of luck with injuries. But wherever we can within that budget, you can see there that there's a lot of goals in there. There's size, there's experience, there's speed. There's a bit of everything we always know that you need to do well in the Elite League. And if we can get that little bit of chemistry and if we can support in this club in every way we can, I think we've got every reason to think that this season the team could do really well. If those things go for us, it's the guys, it's not, we know the big star players in the team, it's the guys that people aren't maybe talking about just now. If those guys give us a little bit more, and then you know you're going to have a good season. So it's important to get down to those first early games and get a feel for it, because if there's going to be some surprise packages, I think, this year. And if we've got that, then it could be really, really exciting.
Well, Jerry, you're 100% right. I mean, listen, Matthew Waugh, for example, had a tremendous year last year, 33 goals. I mean, that's a hard season to replicate. So he may have a tremendous season this year with 25 goals. Now, that 8-goal difference, is that going to hurt us this year like it would have last year? No, because we'll have somebody to pick up those 8 goals, whether it's Dunbar or Shabbat or Hayden or Kennedy or County or so on and so forth. We've got a lot more guys that have scoring resumes than we had last year. And that makes it exciting for us. And I agree. When you look at our home record last year, we beat every team in the league at home last season. Where we got to improve upon is our road success. You know, we had a real good start beginning of the year to road games, and then had a real kind of lull there in the middle and finished up fairly strong at the end with, you know, a huge win at Guildford, which we'd never done before. You know, going against the top three teams, whoever they happen to be, and having a better record. Our record against teams below the top three was about a 600 win percentage last year. Against the top three, it was not. It wasn't even anywhere close to 600. It was more like 200. So closing the gap with all the, you know, all the so-called top teams will help us have an overall better seeding.
It's great to see you, Malcolm. I don't know what you're going to do with your power play. There's so many options there. I guess that's that chemistry thing, though, isn't it? Like, I think if we see that, if we see those special teams looking really good, you've got so many pieces and options there. When you look at the D, there's options there. When you look at your the forwards, any of those forwards in your top, I mean, 9, 10 guys, I think we'd all be expecting to get a look in at least on those two units for your power play.
Well, that's a great thing because now they have to perform to keep their job, right? Whereas last year it was a little bit, you're on it by default. So, you know, right? Okay, you gave up 2 shorties, you're still on the power play. But we had a really good first unit power play last year. I mean, it just overall, it was really good dynamic and took us a while to kind of figure out where to put everybody. I mean, I've tinkered with this 100 times already, and I've come up with 3 different power play units in my head. So, you know, it'll be, you know, we'll try them all in camp and obviously preseason, and whoever goes in hot gets the number one nod. So that's the way it is.
Sounds great.
And we'll just finish a final word from you, Gareth. We're just a few weeks away now. How excited are you going to be seeing that building full again and noisy for a new season?
I just on to touch on what Malcolm and Jerry's just said there, you know, we can't wait to get back on the ice. I think Jerry and I talked about it quite a lot in the office. We just would love to win something now. The organisation from where it came from, you know, with the fan base that we have, we should be competing regularly for major honours. We've really pushed the boat out this year with regards to player budget and try to, you know, support what's going on the ice a lot more than we've been able to in previous years. I think from, you know, from an expectation point of view, you know, it's part of there's a bit of a process going on here now. And, you know, I would love to say we're going to win the Challenge Cup, we're going to win the league, we're going to win the playoffs. Anything can happen. But I think, you know, this year, if we can, you know, progress further from what we did last year, I think the aim is to, you know, for this organisation is to get the playoff final weekend. You know, the playoff final weekend is something that we've massively underachieved on in the past 11 seasons. So I think, you know, this organisation should be getting to the playoff final weekend at least, you know, every 2 years, if not every year. It's big enough. But it's exciting times ahead. You know, there's a lot going on around the club, off the ice and on the ice. And, you know, we're super excited about the direction that it's going in and what the future's gonna bring. You know, compared to this time, you know, last year, probably, you know, June, July, Jerry and I were pulling our hair out, absolutely stressed on whether we would get a team on the ice, and we got there in the end, got through a very difficult season. And it's you know, future's bright at the moment. We just need to keep on heading in that positive direction.
Because when you think about it, Gareth, it's pretty bonkers, isn't it? When you think back to like the middle of lockdown, and we were really like, if we're honest, you don't really know if there's going to be a team. I mean, no one knows what's going on in the world and the sport, and you're like, gee, this, you know, how long can this go on for? And you do whatever you can to keep the thing ticking over. And the fan base were amazing. The sponsorship group were amazing. Everyone fed in at that time. And all we're doing was keeping it going. And then you're right, can we get a team on the ice? And or do you need to wait another year? And you're like, we've got to do it. And then we got Malcolm on board. And, you know, now you look at it now and you're looking at this team and this club, and there's every reason to believe that it could win something. You know, you can see the progression. There was a plan in place before the pandemic hit down, and to have that stripped away. And now this does feel like we're another year under, feet under the table. We understand the business a lot better here, the events business as well as the hockey business. And now there's every reason why people should feel excited about the coach that we've got there, the team that we've got there, and the business around it and the direction it's going in. So, yeah, we're definitely excited.
Well, it put things in perspective. The last time the Clan have had a normal hockey season was 2018-19.
Yeah.
Because the 19-20 season got canceled. We didn't play in that little challenge tournament in 2021. And we really didn't start. I think Gareth, you and I first got everything done about mid-July last year. So, to look at where we started, you know, roughly 12 and a half months ago to where we are today is leaps and bounds. And when you leave a hockey program for a year, year and a half, it gets forgotten by players. Yes. You know, players retire, players move on to different things. And when you're trying to sell your program, it's almost like it's a brand new program again. So you got to be a little bit of a car salesman to get guys to come and this and that and the other thing. Our hope now is that Glasgow has become a prime destination for players that want to play in Europe, where we're an alternative perhaps to going to Germany or going to Norway or Austria and places like that, but also a prime destination within our league for guys to come. And, you know, you look at historically, I guess, the Big Four in Nottingham and Sheffield and Cardiff and Belfast. Everybody even here in North America knows those programs. They do. We want to be in that same conversation. And could we do that last year? Well, you know what? In some weeks we were. We were in that conversation. I guarantee you we were definitely in that talk in Nottingham because we won all three games there last year. I'm sure they're fans. We upset the apple cart a bit there. But we want to have that reputation now when we go into visiting buildings that people are afraid of us now, and that we have a real chance to upset the, you know, the norm in the league and the balance in the league.
I think we're definitely on the radar, don't you? I think we're definitely on the radar, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
better. You know, it's like when Guildford came into the league as well. There were another team there spending big and another addition to the league. You're like, no, I think people have definitely got an eye on us.
I love to be there. For me, going into it like Sheffield and being the bad guy, you know, kind of like Clint Eastwood in an old Western movie, Gunslinger, that's the highlight of the year for a coach is when you're going in there and being the bad guy.
You call the result again. Totally. If you could just those buildings and call the result again and then have it play out exactly as you've said. I really enjoy that. That always goes down quite well. If you could do that a few times this season.
Sure, yeah. But we're getting to that point now where – you know, I'm sure there were several years there where teams did not fear the Clan coming in. You know, as long as they weren't all out the night before, they knew they were getting the 2 points. Yeah. Well, it's not going to be that way anymore. Last year, we knew we may be short on talent, but we wanted to have lots of try and grit. So whether we walked out of the rink with 2 points, we left an impression physically with a lot of guys with a lot of bruises. Yeah. That's for darn sure. Now we're going to try and make an impression on the scoreboard.
Yeah. And I think just looking back to, you know, when we took over the building, I was using this all the time that it was a bit of a game changer. Like the way the business and the organisation and the hockey club was set up was we were always going to struggle to break into that top four. Just budgetary-wise, Cardiff, Belfast, Sheffield, Nottingham were just so far ahead of us. Obviously, now that we've got the building and the way it changes the dynamic of where we're heading, it's you know, over the next couple of years, we'll gradually, you know, pull into that top four and start competing more on a regular basis with them, which is the really exciting part of the future. So,
and with that, we'll end it there. The clan journey continues. Can't wait for 2022-23. Gareth Chalmers, thank you. Malcolm Cameron, good to see you. Jerry McLaughlin, thank you for your time. Thank you to everybody who got in touch with us for our Glasgow Clan Q&A. This will be available as an audio podcast as well, so you can listen to when you're out and about. Latest news for the club, you'll see it on the website, clanihc.com, and follow us across our social media channels as well. Can't wait to see you soon in Brayhead Arena. In the meantime, thank you very much for watching. Bye for now.